Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, folks, it is Thursday, the 16th day of May 2012, and in the last 30 minutes I had Joseph Curl of DrudgeReport.com and WashingtonTimes.com on with us, and I was saying bye to him at the end of the hour, and he said, hey, you raised Petraeus, that's the big point we need to get to, so he's graciously held over another 5 minutes with us. If you just joined us, the whole thing's unraveling, obviously. They've released, from 67 hours later, almost 3 days later, select emails acting like this is the whole data dump, and the media, I have the headlines here, the White House knew nothing about Benghazi. They were bumbling idiots. What an old trick. Almost 3 days after they've got their talking points straight, but Petraeus is in the email saying, I don't like these talking points. I don't like this story. This basically isn't true. And Curl on air was saying, he's got CIA sources, so do I. I have Defense Department sources, like Colonel Schaefer, who swears he'll come on, but it's threatened not to since he came on and dropped bombshells back in October, right after Benghazi. And so Curl was saying there's more on Petraeus coming. Petraeus knows. Is that why they ran him out? Is that why they fired a bunch of CENTCOM? Joe Curl, what's the big scoop on Benghazi, the other shoes to drop, and what do you know about Petraeus?
Well, that's the fascinating thing, is that when Petraeus happened, you know, remember, he was head of the CIA, and the CIA was heavily involved in Benghazi. In fact, you know, some sources have told me that there was the embassy there in Tripoli, there was the annex as well in the consulate in Benghazi, an annex someplace nearby, and people, you know, many people have talked about whether there was a dark site in Benghazi, that they were taking some people, suspected terrorists, to a place that CIA may have been heavily involved there. We really don't know. But it was remarkable that the head of the CIA, a four-star general, Petraeus, was drummed out so quickly over a sex scandal. Remember, this was after Benghazi happened. And, you know, there were all kinds of speculation. No one could prove anything, but there was speculation that Petraeus knew an awful lot and was very unhappy with the dealings with the White House and the story that was formulated and the back and forth that now we are starting to see from these emails took place between the CIA, the State Department, and the White House. So Petraeus is the one, I think, who knows an awful lot more about this. Now we see in this last email, Petraeus says, you know, after they finally get their talking points together, leave out the terrorist attack, leave out Al-Qaeda, don't mention anything about a spontaneous protest. Now we see that Petraeus said, well, I'd rather not use these talking points, if you don't mind, because they're not accurate. They're not even... The CIA, who actually knows what happened there, is telling the State Department, here's what we're comfortable with. And the State Department, for political reasons, the White House, for political reasons, was saying, well, we shouldn't want to say that. The State Department didn't want anything said because they're trying to protect Hillary. The White House didn't want anything said because they were trying to win re-election. I mean, this is 2 months before re-election. The last thing they can have is a terrorist attack under this president. So
it was a protest. And we can now call 9/11 a protest under this new labeling.
Right, exactly. So Petraeus is the one I would really watch for. I think Petraeus obviously knows everything that's happened there. He's obviously not exactly happy with the way he was treated and drummed out. I mean, you know, it's not unheard of for, you know, certainly the Russians will set up their politicians with scandals.
Sure. Why don't the Republicans call Petraeus for Benghazi hearings?
Well, that would be a brilliant move. I mean, if they could bring him in, and, you know, the question is whether, I mean, can you still call Hillary Clinton? She was Secretary of State then. She isn't now. Can she be, you know, called back in to testify in front of Congress? Because obviously, her testimony now is all suspect. I mean, what she said under oath in front of the House committees is now, you know, heavily questioned. So can you call her back in? Can you bring back in anyone who's involved, the CIA director like Petraeus?
Absolutely. We'll have to get you back up on that soon. In fact, I see you have a column from a while back saying, watch for Petraeus in the Benghazi probe scandal. So you called it. Joe Curl, again, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, Alex.
We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Alex Jones. Myself, my family, the InfoWars.com team want to relay to you and your families that we are intensifying our efforts against the globalist on every front. InfoWars.com is leading the fight against the technocrats. But we can't do that without your help. By getting the films, bumper stickers, and t-shirts at InfoWars.com, you will wake up people in your area and support our operation as we move to the next level. We need your help to spread the word like never before. They wish to hide themselves during this tectonic battle between the forces of freedom and darkness. You are the response to the globalist technocrats and their program of global eugenics dehumanization and ultimate extermination. The war is here. It's an info war. The spirit of 1776 versus the mindset of 1984.
We've lived in this neighborhood for years. We have an alarm system, and all of our doors have deadbolts. They kicked in our door and were in and out of our house in about 5 minutes. The police arrived in about 20 minutes, but they were long gone with our TV, jewelry, and my guns. I kept thinking, what if my family had been home? The police officer said that more than 85% of break-ins are through a door, and that deadbolts alone don't stop intruders. The officer told me to go to EasyArmor.net if we wanted something that would actually stop an intruder. Easy Armor reinforces all of the weak points on your doors and is guaranteed to prevent kick-ins. I was surprised at how little Easy Armor costs, and I installed Easy Armor in about 30 minutes.
Visit EasyArmor.net. That's the letters EasyArmor.net. Or call 888-58-ARMOR. That's 888-582-7667. EasyArmor.net. Ultimate door security made easy.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now into hour number two, and the scandals enveloping Obama are exploding. And now they put out selected emails to confuse everyone that they didn't know anything about Benghazi, but Petraeus and others obviously are out there in the emails exposing that they got their story straight over 67 hours before they put out any emails. So they're not putting out emails from the first 67 hours. Pretty outrageous, obvious tactic there. You've got a hardball, slime ball, Chris Matthews, saying he doesn't like Obama anymore. Basically, the luster, the tingle in his groin region, his leg has gone away. He's no longer like a schoolgirl at a Elvis concert. And then we also have Bill Press coming out against the Attorney General, Atlantic Wire coming out against the Attorney General. You know, when will they resign? They need to resign. They need to go to jail for Fast and Furious, for Benghazi. Now congressmen are coming out saying that the word is the cloakroom, and that's my word, is that Mitch McConnell and others know the Congress was being spied on. The cloakroom is where they go to talk shop. That was tapped. Of course the Congress is tapped. I mean, it came out that's going on in England. The parliament's tapped. They are spying on the legitimate government. As bad as Congress is, that's the elected government. I mean, they go before Congress and say, the NATO commands our military and commands our president. I mean, right there, there should have been arrest. It should have been, you know, helicopters landing, you know, mass arrest of all these traitors, you know, huge trials. I mean, that was just like, I serve NATO. Our orders come from NATO. I mean, America's under foreign power control. But instead, you know, Congressman Devin Nunes is like, you know, the word is we're tapped at the Justice Department. And is that wrong? I mean, is that? We played the clip last hour. It's up on Infowars.com and DrudgeReport.com, as it is from the Weekly Standard. I mean, is that a wrong thing to do? I mean, does that rise the level of impeachment? I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a felony to do it to anybody without a warrant. But, you know, one branch of government tapping the other branch illegally, you know, or tapping the Congress, is that wrong thing to do? I don't, you know, is it wrong what Jeffrey Dahmer did? Is it wrong to rob banks? I mean, it just never ceases to amaze me, the normalcy bias. And again, if you don't know what the normalcy bias is, we pull up the definition of normalcy bias. Let me give them the technical one. But thanks, guys. Incredible crew. Like octopuses in there running all the stuff, following along with my scattergun way of meandering rabbit trail way of doing things. It's just that learned helplessness, normalcy bias, it all ties together. But normalcy bias is where you just grow up in tyranny, so you think it's normal. The normalcy bias refers to extreme mental state people enter when facing a disaster. Causes people to underestimate the severity of the disaster and not to basically respond to it. And it's more than that. When you just grow up in disasters, you just think it's normal. Well, we give our firstborn to Herod. Or, you know, we give our firstborn to Pharaoh because he wants them killed. Or the Romans, you know, want to kill the firstborn. I mean, government was always, in every culture, in the Aztecs, you know, I talk about this constantly. They always go, you know, we want your kids. Yeah, we're gonna eat them. Mesoamerica, that was the main meat source. The ruling class, we're going to eat your children. We like the little ones, the veal, the human veal. And again, if you teleported back to the Aztec kingdom 600 years ago, and what's Mexico City today, their headquarters, and you said, I think it's wrong that you're going to kill that one-year-old boy and chop his heart out and then have the lower priest class sell the meat in the market. You know, the sun is actually a gaseous nuclear reaction, and we orbit it. And it's going to come back up tomorrow, even if you don't chop that heart out. They would look at you and laugh. And that's the normalcy bias, where, you know, we played the clip, and, you know, Devin Nunes, who you got to say has courage compared to most of them, is like, well, the other big shoe to drop is we've been told the cloakroom is wiretapped, and they've bugged us, and they're listening to us. Is that bad? Is that wrong? And I guess that's a tactic to kind of go, you know, what do you think about that? Is that a problem? So, I mean, maybe he was just being cheeky, but, you know, we played earlier Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes going, I know nothing, I know nothing, I know nothing. But here is the new Sergeant Schultz, Attorney General of Fast and Furious, Deputy Attorney General who covered up Oklahoma City. That came out in federal court. He's a very nice man, Eric Holder. And see, in the beginning of Patriots, a scarce man, hated, feared, scorned, but in time when his cause succeeds, the timid joining, because then it caused nothing to be a patriot. That's Mark Twain. I had to hit the barbed wire early on and talk about Agenda 21 and cancer viruses and vaccines and the government hiring and running Al-Qaeda. And then finally, God love him, Glenn Beck started covering it. Michael Savage has been covering it for years, talking about false flags that Obama could stage. And then now Limbaugh's covering it, and Sean Hannity's covering it, and more and more people are covering it because of Infowars.com. And I got to give credit where credit's due. The first mega alternative media, I mean, what do you call it? It's not mainline media. It's not alternative media. It's just free media, DrudgeReport.com. So Infowars, then Drudge, and then now everybody else follows. And that's good. But let me tell you, it's a lonely feeling to be demonized and attacked and know you're right and be out front on things that are admitted and hiding in plain view, like NSA wiretapping of everybody. Oh, yeah, everything's recorded, Alex. Yeah, it's in the Telecommunications Act. Here it is, the specs putting it in place in 1996 over a five-year period. Here, just read it. I'm not going to read that, kook. Now they're on CNN going, yeah, we record everything you did going back at least 10 years. At least, well, actually 13, 19, 2001. yeah, so we can just go back and hear all your conversations. For your safety, of course. See, now, I thought Bilderberg didn't. Just 4 years ago, New York Times said Bilderberg does not exist and that I'm a full-on schizophrenic imagining Bilderberg in Virginia. Really, now it's all over the British press again. Now it's all admitted. Now people brag they go since we blew its cover and go, it's no big deal. Now it is secret, and we'll try to arrest any reporters that try to get near. But it's no big deal, Mr. Gopher. You know, Caddyshack, it's no big deal. Maybe we can find that clip where Bill Murray's dropping the plastic explosive in. Just a friendly squirrel, Mr. Gopher. Not a plastic explosive or anything. You know, I mean, they're changing laws to take your bank accounts and announcing it. What's wrong with having your bank account taken by a foreign bank? What's wrong with Bank of America? It's really a foreign bank. You know, taking people's houses they don't even have deeds to that are paid for. I mean, it's no big deal, Mr. Gopher. I mean, come on. But speaking of comedy, because it's unintentional comedy, here is the Attorney General yesterday saying, I don't know, I don't know. There's only some of the I don't knows. I know nothings. Here it is.
Do you know why that was not done?
There are exceptions to that rule. I do not know, however. Again, Mr. Chairman, I don't know. 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 That I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know whether or not. I just don't know. I don't know exactly how IRS is constructed. I don't know when the subpoena was issued. Well, I don't know precisely. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the specific questions. Now, again, I don't know what happened.
Well, either you know or you don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know when. I don't know. I'm not sure I know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right.
I did not know. I don't know what you all are going to ask me. I didn't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I know nothing. I have seen nothing. I was not even here. I mean, this is so in your face, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I want to go to a clip of Mike Judge, some more humor here. Again, the fact that Mike Judge, who is obviously a libertarian type guy from King of the Hill and the messages that are in that, I'd always suspected this. I've talked to him, you know, over the years here and there over the phone and text messages, and we have a lot of mutual friends. But I interviewed Mike Judge a few days ago, about a 50-minute interview raw. You know, there's phones ringing and stuff in the background, so it'll be about 45 minutes long. We're going to premiere it next Thursday in one of the 3 hours. If there's big breaking news, it'll be in the third hour. If there's not a bunch of breaking news, it'll be in the second hour. But we're going to premiere that here on the radio / TV. It's radio for all the listeners on XM and over 150 affiliates out there. But you can also go to prisonplanet.tv if you're a member and see the video. But the little trailer that I'm about to play, if you're a radio listener, you can see the video of it up on Infowars.com. It just went up there. Comedy icon Mike Judge talks to Alex Jones. And so this little teaser is up there if you actually want to see the video. You know, the fact that Mike Judge, who I looked into it, does not ever really talk about his views politically openly. He did with us, and I actually held back. He was saying so much, I didn't want to, because they will. They try to keep people that are big Hollywood A-list on a short leash, but he's a great, great patriot. Montanan / Texan, a nice mix there. But let's go to Mike Judge, who, well, is a rocket scientist and one of the greatest comedic minds ever. And he agreed with my analysis that he's a satirist. So let's go to a little teaser of the Mike Judge interview coming up next Thursday, 7 days from now, on this transmission. Here it is.
Hello, this is Hank Hill, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Infowars.com, yeah.
My Judge, what is the secret of the universe?
Infowars.com, yeah.
There were people literally on the YouTube going, I can do a better Beavis and Butthead. I can do a better Hank Hill. That's how dumb some YouTubers are. People are like, hey, that's the originator. There's no way you can do it better than him. I mean, I can do a Bill Clinton, but I'm not Bill Clinton. Got it? Let's go out with the new White House press secretary. Here it is.
Oh, I see nothing. I was not here. I did not even get up this morning.
If you're going to have a bunker, why not have an ultimate bunker? In case of pandemic outbreak, civil unrest, biological or nuclear fallout, or EMP attacks, stay safe in your own ultimate bunker, built for lasting security for any need or budget. Manufactured in Salt Lake City, Utah, each ultimate bunker includes free food storage and all the comforts of home. Learn more at ultimatebunker.com. That's ultimatebunker.com. Or call 801-661-3900. Ultimate Bunker. You can't do better than the ultimate.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crust, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrients. Nutrient-dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food waste in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.
You prepare by purchasing gold, food, and firearms. But if you don't have a home security system, then you're missing a critical weapon in your arsenal for home protection. When you're sleeping or away from home, who's watching out for intruders? Check out Simply Safe. It's a new do-it-yourself home security system that is completely wireless. Go to GetSimplySafe.com. Simply Safe is independent and off the grid. It runs on battery power, so even if the grid goes down, you're protected. It's completely customizable, so you can use it in your home, business, boat, trailer, storage unit, or shed. Get SimplySafe.com. Simply Safe is also ridiculously easy to install yourself in under 20 minutes, so there's no need to let a stranger into your home. If you move or need to relocate, you can take the system with you wherever you go. You aren't always at home, but Simply Safe will stand guard, protecting your property 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Again, that's GetSimplySafe.com.
Imagine waking one morning only to find your family shivering in the dark because you couldn't afford to pay your electric bill. That's closer than you think. You probably haven't heard about this yet because the liberal media has been suppressing what is fast becoming the most shocking news story of 2012. Obama's secret war on coal that could increase your already high power bill as much as 400% in coming months. As shocking as it sounds, it may well be just a matter of time before the lights start going out across America. But here's some good news. There's an underground video at exposed123.com that thousands of smart patriots have used to end their slavery to the corrupt electricity monopoly. The video at exposed123.com has already been banned by Google, and the liberal media is doing everything in its power to take it down and keep America in the dark. So watch it now at exposed123.com before it's too late. Again, that's exposed123.com.
Hello, Mr. Gopher. Yeah, it's me, Mr. Squirrel. Yeah, hi. Just a harmless squirrel, not a plastic explosive or anything, nothing to be worried about. Yeah, I'm just here to make your last hours on Earth as peaceful as possible. Yes, don't mind this. This is a doctor's orders and so forth. Hey, you don't mind if I just pop in there a few laughs, huh? Yeah, that's right. Well, in the words of Jean-Paul Sartre, au revoir, go fair. What's up, Doc?
gentlemen. If the gopher is scared of the plastic explosive, he is a conspiracy theorist. They're setting up cameras, buying armored vehicles, billions of bullets. The training manuals say they're preparing to put us in, quote, re-education camps, official Army manuals. I can put it on screen for you if you like. Or just type in a new Army manual covers re-education camps, how to break our families up. It says who they're going to put in there, Tea Party people. And the IRS is targeting us, and you know, they're running torture camps all over the world. Everything's fine, Mr. Gopher. Not a plastic explosive or anything. Nothing to worry about. Mr. Squirrel, in your last hours on Earth. I mean, the tyranny is here. And I say the gopher is a conspiracy theorist. He should have gone and hugged the plastic explosive, even though he looked through the window and saw the greenskeeper with the explosives talking about his plan to blow up the gopher. Even though the globalists have got all these public documents, it's on record they ship in the drugs, it's on record they launder the money, it's on record. They had congressional hearings in 97 with this inspector general of the CIA admitting it. But we're just supposed to go, oh, nothing to worry about, Mr. Gopher. Now, joining us for the balance of the hour is Kevin Booth. And, folks, he's really here because he was a producer for Bill Hicks. We're just going to go come clean since everybody on the Internet's exposed us. We're running scared right now. Folks, I am Bill Hicks. I joked the other day and said that. People said he accidentally said it. I accidentally just said it again right there. And, you know, it's actually kind of mean to the family, folks. Bill really did die of pancreatic cancer. And that's not why Kevin Booth is here. He's here to talk about American Drug War II. I just want to be honest with folks. Actually, Kevin Booth is Bill Hicks and Sam Kennison. He was good friends with him as well. And, folks, Richard Pryor didn't die. I'm going to be honest. I'm not Bill Hicks. I'm Richard Pryor. Okay? I'm like Michael Jackson. They took the pigment out of my skin. And I'm Richard Pryor, folks. I'm also St. Jerome and George Carlin and a Vatican assassin. So you're going to talk about American Drug War II, which actually wasn't produced by you. It was produced by Bill Hicks. Kevin, do you want to come clean with the fact of how you were the mastermind producer behind my transformation?
Well, even though both of you guys were still alive at the same time.
I'm too far to occur, too.
We started the plastic surgery in the out of the porta potty at the public access station. We had our team of plastic surgeons behind the porta potty in the dumpster back there making the transformation.
But I'm sure you have sacredcowproductions.com. I'm sure this has been going on for years now, man. They're digging through my birth records and stuff to prove I'm Bill Hicks.
Yeah, I was amazed. I went on YouTube the other day and searched it, and there's hundreds of videos now. So it's definitely, it's taking off. It's taking off.
But it's mean to the family. It's mean to the family.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what do you, I don't know.
And then, you know, when you got Russell Crowe calling you up asking if you're really Bill Hicks, you know it's gone too far. I can't handle it, man. I'm living in a Twilight Zone episode. I'm sorry. You want to address me as Bill now, Kevin?
All right, Billy.
No, but doesn't it kind of make you mad being good friends with Bill and being there when he died to hear all this?
You know, what makes me mad are just some of the people out there that aren't real crazy about you. Like some of the Bill fans that are not so crazy about you that are saying, you know, Kevin owes us some sort of...
Oh, they cut the feed right there. They didn't want us to hear the Bill Hicks thing. That was us cutting the feed. Kevin, your audio cut out. Say that again. Yeah. Bill Hicks fans say what?
Yeah.
My fans say what?
You know, I just get a lot from the Bill Hicks fans that aren't all that crazy about you, always saying, well, Kevin Booth owes us some sort of an explanation for his association with Alex.
But I'm Bill. I mean, well, how would you not keep associating with me?
I know they got the eye scanning to prove it. They can prove it. They've got everything. The one guy goes into detail. He puts your eyes over each other. Anybody out there, just go to YouTube and just do Bill Hicks is Alex Jones, and you'll see all these videos.
Well, you know, we're getting desperate. We're getting desperate is why we're talking about this, right? This is damage control, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, folks. No, for the family. I'm not gonna joke around about this. I'm not Bill Hicks. Okay, I'm actually Bill Clinton's son. All right, we're going to be... No, it's true, folks. I have to... Okay, we're going to get serious, get into the drug war straight ahead with Kevin Booth, American Drug War II.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Introducing Pro One. All
of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquamedics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gates, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia, and chlorine. Hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with the new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Detail at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
You've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are in trouble.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Kevin Booth grew up in Houston, Texas. He was a teenager. Him and Bill Hicks were best friends. That's why we're getting into Bill Hicks. And I want to get into your new film and hold you a little bit in the next hour because I got you on late. Larry Pinkney, one of the founders of the Black Panther Party, is going to be in studio with us. He's also going to be on the nightly news tonight. And we're here interviewing him for a film I'm making. But congratulations on American Drug War being, I've seen it in a lot of newspapers, cited as something that's really exposed the drug war as the fraud it is, aired on a lot of the big cable networks, big hit. American Drug War 2, I've talked to people that have seen it, say it is a unrivaled masterpiece and blows the first one away. I mean, well, you probably are 6-7 years, correct me if I'm wrong, in the making of this. I know how that is when you really want to make a real film, you just get obsessed with it. He moved out to L.A. to really cover the drug war more closely to make American Drug War 2. I think you told me he's been picked up by Warner Brothers. It's going to be in select theaters across the country. Very important to be a hit in theaters so it gets expanded everywhere. But this gets into what it does to children, American Drug War 2. And so we will be breaking that down and playing some exclusive video audio clips never before seen here today, ahead of its release. We're going to get into that. But since we bring up Bill Hicks, talk about growing up a little bit briefly with Bill Hicks, being his first producer with stuff like Ninja Bachelor Party and so much more. And then, of course, you told me the story privately. I think it's also in the best-selling book that came out later about, you know, being there the day he died of pancreatic cancer. deal. I'm not afraid to die, but I've got so much work I want to do. And Bill had so much work. He was so young. I'm just a few minutes on Bill Hicks, remembering him.
Okay. God, I never know what to expect to come on when I come on here. You're all serious, then you get all funny on me. It's like a roller coaster ride. You know, I mean, that's an interesting thing because, I mean, you're going 100 miles an hour, and basically Bill was never a guy that wasted any time. And when he would be around people that wasted his time or just wanted to hang out, he would usually, like, bolt and go do his own thing. He was trying to achieve things. But definitely once Bill was diagnosed with cancer, instead of running around and telling everybody, he didn't want people to feel sorry for him, and he didn't want people to coddle him, and he definitely didn't want his life to slow down, so he kept it a complete secret, even from me for a long time, and basically just cranked up the volume, and he got as much done as possible before he passed away. And the whole time when he was sick, you know, it was believed he was going to pull through. I mean, you know, we're all praying for this miracle, and for a while the tumor markers were looking better. But we literally, he got sick while we were working on an album called Arizona Bay in my home studio. It was an album where we were doing music and comedy together. And we did Rant in E Minor while he was sick. We worked on a brand new Ninja Bachelor Party. We did a bunch of TV shows and interviews. And he was, we were working on a pilot for a TV show for Channel 4 in England called Council of the Netherworld. And so Bill, even though he was extremely sick, probably in a lot of pain, he was just running to the finish line and knowing that this was going to be the legacy that he left behind on Earth, whatever that was.
Incredible. Amazing comedian, an amazing political mind. It's just a ride. All right, Kevin, shifting gears into your film. I'm going from memory. Am I right? 7 years you've spent on American Drug War II?
Well, I mean, you know, I've been on this topic now for about 10 years. I mean, just kind of like you with Police State. You know, you keep making the same movie and over again until you get it right. You know, we did American Drug War I, which covered all the aspects of the drug war from the Ricky Ross, CIA, crack cocaine, to the crystal meth epidemic, to private prisons and how they operate, up into touching on medical marijuana. Then we put out another film called How Weed Won the West, which is a little bit more of a playful film showing like the business of marijuana in California and what the future of business could be. And really back there in 2009, everybody was thinking like, this is it, it's going to be legalized. Well, things have really gone downhill since then. We've got another initiative here in California, Prop D, that we're supposed to be voting on. And so we've gone from having 1,000 dispensaries in LA down to like 130 legally operated ones. And so, you know, I just got back from Denver. Now, if you want to be a pothead, go to Denver. Like, they don't even smoke marijuana anymore. Everybody smokes this thing called dabs now. It's funny. They finally legalized marijuana, and now marijuana is not good enough for them anymore. It's all about this dabbing thing, which is like this really hardcore, powerful stuff. I'm sure I'm going to get some people complaining that I said that. But it just seems like, you know, how high can you get? But Denver's gone to pot in a good way. It was fun. It's fun. But if you want to, like, just go crazy and smoke pot, move to Denver for sure. But
marijuana didn't used to be as strong as it is now. It's like horse tranquilizers now or something.
Well, you know, but the point of that is, though, is that really the stronger it gets, the less you need to smoke. And so if the complaint is that smoking things is bad for you, which it is, smoking anything is not good for you, then the less you smoke, the better. So, you know, people argue, well, this isn't your parents' Woodstock marijuana anymore, and that's why it should be against the law. Well, but the point is, back in the days, somebody would have to smoke 10 joints to rival the high you get from one bong hit of some of this.
Especially if you're vaping with Willie Nelson.
Yeah, or dabbing. Look up dabbing. Dabbing is like the next level. Of course, nobody could be happy. I was in a club in Denver. I just wanted to take a hit. You know, I don't travel with it. And everybody's like, oh, you still smoke flower? Hey, this old guy, look at this old guy, still smokes flower. He's like, oh my God, what an old timer. He doesn't dab.
So, I'm sorry, but let's get into the film because it shows what this does to kids.
Right. So off the bat, I mean, you know, to start, I wanted to not start directly on marijuana. And, you know, my wife and I, Trey, tried to have children for many years and haven't been able to have children. And so we decided to become foster parents here in Los Angeles. And we didn't do this as part of the film. It just is one of these things that became, and I've been accused of doing this for the film, but we actually ended up helping
children. You can't respond to trolls, Kevin. I mean, you like adopt a bunch of sheltered dogs. The truth is that those were the babies. Everybody's maternal. And so now you want to take care of real humans, and it's good you also take care of all the dogs.
So, you know, here in Los Angeles County alone, there's 35,000 children that have been taken away from their parents in these horrible group homes and foster homes, and it's a business. The business becomes how many children can you stick in one home to make as much money. And so
this is really a CPS film is why it's so powerful. That's why I'm surprised they've picked it up. Get into that, what you discovered being involved in this.
Well, you know, right off the bat, right before Christmas, this is the, not this last Christmas, but the Christmas before, we had a young girl, 11-year-old girl named Stephanie, brought to our home, and she was going to spend Christmas with us. Seemed like a totally normal, rational child, and then comes like all these bottles of pills, and they say, okay, you got to give her these in the morning and these at night, and it's, you know, Adderall, and we come to realize that she has to be basically given amphetamines in the morning and then barbiturates at night. And she just came from a group home where all the kids in this one group home were on the same exact regimen of barbiturates and amphetamines. And it's basically just a way of chemically controlling a group. It's like a chemical straitjacket.
By the way, about 20% of our military is now, they're doing that to them too. I mean, this is THX-1138.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. And so we you know, and the thing was, we were put into a position of if we didn't give her the medication, they would remove her from us because they're, you know, screening her and testing her constantly while she was with us.
And you discovered they do this to all of them basically because they get more money.
Yeah. Well, basically what you find out in the foster system very quickly is that the higher, like the more problems your kid has, the more money you can make, and the more money all the social workers make, and all the everybody involved.
So you're a successful writer, filmmaker. You know, I mean, we're not going to brag, but you know, you live in a famous guy's, you know, former house. You're in a nice place. You don't need this for the money. You know, three wolves and five dogs isn't enough. You're paternal. You want to take care of some young people.
We're just trying to help a kid. You know what I mean? We're just trying to help a kid and experience something that we hadn't experienced before. And then jumping into raising a teenager with a lot of problems is a lot to bite off already. But, you know, we went through quite a bit to get them the court order to lower the amount of Adderall. And here's something I'd like to say, and I know this is probably an extremely irresponsible thing to say. It's probably a bad thing to say, and a lot of people are going to disagree with me. But I believe that anybody who's going to give mind-altering drugs to a little child should have to take them first themselves.
I think that's a great thing.
I just think, you know what? You know what? I just don't think you should hand Paxil to some little kid and then wonder why he's like trying to tear his hair out. Why don't you take it first? And then maybe it would make sense. Or, you know, I took one little speck of this Adderall, and I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I'm not kidding you. And this was just like not even a crumb of what this little child was taking every day.
Oh, my God. And then it makes them calm later once they burn out. It kills brain cells.
And it usually ends up making them want to become addicted to
cocaine. I took speed twice. You know, in high school, people would talk me into it. So I never did hard drugs. I tried. I was like, I'm up for 2 days, and then I vomit for another day. And I want to, like, you know, basically get in fist fights with people. I mean, this is hellish.
Yeah. No, and when it carves out a place in your brain that is going to basically make you an addict later in life because you...
The studies show you're four times more likely to be a drug addict after they put you on this stuff. Yeah. So they know what they're doing. 70% roughly of foster kids are on up to seven drugs. But yeah, get into the film. We've got some clips. What clips you want to go to first?
Well, let's start the one about foster children before we get into talking about marijuana. So this first clip is just like a minute and a half or so about my wife and I fostering this child. And then her, it also has her sister in there who was taken to another group home, but we knew her sister too. And out of the blue, because she tried to, like, they quote, drowned another girl in a pool when they were just playing in a swimming pool and she held someone else's little girl in her water, they diagnosed her as being schizophrenic and put her on all these powerful schizophrenia medications. Just never, you know, never in her whole life had been, you know.
And you're an expert on that because you took care of your late brother who was schizophrenic.
Yeah, she's not schizophrenic. I mean, maybe she has some emotional problems. Who wouldn't?
Well, putting kids on speed will make them become artificially schizophrenic. Everybody knows that.
Well, what about just taking a child away from their parents? I think taking a child away from their parents, like, what child is not going to be traumatized from that? It's a completely traumatic experience. And so they start handing these kids drugs.
And by the way, since you raised this point, I didn't even know about it. We've talked about the film. I thought people have seen it out in L.A., you know, the rough cuts. you know, you bring up what trolls say about, oh, he put a foster kid, now that, you know, she's gone back to her mother and you've got an authorization to put her in the film. He put her in the film. He did this to put her in a film. I remember the last 6-7 years, all the incarnations about prisons and enslaving and marijuana. And then I remember you telling me, now I'm going this direction because I discovered all this. Oh, my God, you're right. It's all true. It's so horrible. In fact, you even told me a few months ago, you said you didn't fully believe me about the CPS and stuff before.
No, it's crazy. But the thing is that when you get into it, you know, it's not like any of these people are evil. I mean, we have these people in my house all the time. I'm friends with a lot of these people. We have caseworkers and social workers and county workers. I mean, the foster child we're taking care of now, she's 16 years old. I'm not kidding you, Alex. She has 20 people that work for her. It is insane. We go to these meetings where, like, it's literally like 20 people around a table that, you know, I'm the intern for her social workers, you know, management company, and they're all making money off this one child. And so the more problems too is like, oh, she lost her temper. We got to like up her level of care. Well,
oh, they're at a pool and a little kid fell off and went under, tried to murder him. Then we're going to put you on an antipsychotic.
Exactly. It's that fast. It's that fast. I mean, they don't even question it.
What's this first clip we're going to play? Exclusive.
This is about us fostering this little girl, and we interview her sister as well. And just for the record, her mother has become an activist. She's back with her mother now, and it's all good. And they, believe me, they want to be in this movie.
And by the way, that's what you've worked to do, is get them back with their parents. You're telling me, can you say what you told me off record about how... I mean, the system doesn't really want kids back with their parents, do they?
Yeah, no, they fight. And, you know, we even get messages about, like, how bad they're doing all the time. And then we check in with them, and they're like, no, we're doing good. And it's kind of like,
the system doesn't want you. Look, folks, they take people's kids that fall off jungle gyms and break their finger at school. And then they start an investigation at the hospital and then come to your house and find a dirty plate and take your kid for that when the kid breaks their finger at the school. I know someone that happened with. Let's go to this clip. Here it is.
If I wanted to become a foster dad, I was no longer allowed to use my homegrown remedy. Weekly searches of our home by seasoned California caseworkers with sensitive noses kept me on the up and up.
Weren't allowed to smoke pot.
Right before Christmas, the agency sent my wife and I an 11-year-old girl whose mother had been in prison for several years. Along with our new foster daughter, Stephanie, came prescriptions for the powerful amphetamine Adderall and a very powerful antidepressant sleeping pill. Before becoming our foster daughter, Stephanie had been living in a home with 10 other children for over 3 years.
Wow.
During that time, she was regularly sedated and put to bed by 7 p.m. and then woken up at 6 a.m. with Adderall in order to go to school, as were most of the other children living in the home.
You saved a victim.
Newly diagnosed as being schizophrenic and drugged accordingly, Stephanie's sister, Brittany, was also placed in foster care.
I started the medication in the group home, but before I had the medication, I was good. I was good, but then I don't know what happened, and they just put me on medication.
You go away!
As foster parents, the more problems we could list our child with, the more we got paid. If a child throws something or makes a threatening gesture, we could raise their category of care. More drugs for the child equals more money for everyone, including the agencies, doctors, and on a grand scale, the pharmaceutical companies.
We don't drug our children. We raise our children and nurture them and take care of them. But the institutions that they end up in do it just to keep the logjam from getting worse, you know.
I'm 11 years old. And I feel kind of sad being taken away from my mom. And I didn't know it would be like that. And I've been in foster care for so long, I'm ready to go home.
Wow. You know, Kevin, you're doing something no one's ever done. And I think there's a reason you obsessed over this film. It's been 7 years. The other one took 3. This is 7 or 6.5. And, I mean, you really stumbled into something big here. And the fact that you're able to show this is just amazing.
Yeah, I know it's taken some time. You know, you have to put in the time to do a story like this. I mean, you know, we couldn't have just put this out while the girls were still in the foster system. We had to make sure that these girls got out of the foster system before we could tell the story. And so it was about 3-year plan just to
and
tell
the before
story
and after.
Of this
I've seen like 3-year-olds grabbed by the foster system, totally healthy, happy. 6 months later, their teeth have fallen out. They have black circles around their eyes. They look like concentration camp victims because you cry for mommy. They put you on drugs.
Oh yeah, and the average foster home is not like our house. I mean, we're the, you know, I'm not sitting here bragging saying we got some great house, but trust me, like the average foster home.
They got a nice pad, but the whole point is, I listen, for a summer, I worked for a major carpet cleaner, and this is when I was 18, and my dad's like, get out of the house and get another job, you know, I don't care if you don't have enough of one job, get two jobs, you're not going to be, you know, that's good, you know, throw you out of the nest, and I got that job, because it was a place where I could get paid $15 an hour back then, because it was rough work, you know, the apprentice got paid like 15, the head guy's like 25, you'd be there helping, and let me tell you, I had to go to the foster houses, and I'm like, what are these? And it'd be like some 3-bedroom house with kids that, you know, you'd see like cages where they were locking them up, a dirty mattress, kids that look like zombies. It would always be like some weird pot-bellied guy that, you know, now I know probably like a pedophile was, you know, wandering around. And then they won't investigate them because that's their people.
And they've passed the little test.
Cops out there, you get to go in houses, you know, and plumbers. Let me tell you, it's service people that see all this stuff, man. And let me tell you, fleas. We'll be right back with Kevin. Kevin Booth. Absolutely.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables, and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
In the last 2 years alone, the U.S. has seen huge losses to our food supply. In 2011, storms and floods raged across the U.S., costing us $20 billion in lost crops alone. In 2012, we saw the largest drought in the country in more than 50 years. You may think out of sight, out of mind, and so you don't think you will be affected. The fact is, you are. We all are. Food shortages drive prices up for everyone. You might not be able to control Mother Nature, but you can control your food prices by freezing the cost and availability of your food supply with eFoods Direct. Be prepared before you need it with nutrient-dense food you can store for up to 25 years. You can hope for the best, but hope won't feed you. Do what I've done and get your own supply of the best storable foods out there from eFoods Direct. Call 800-409-5633 or visit them on the web at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and check out their spring specials. Again, that number is 800-409-5633 or on the web at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
What's more amazing than a Swiss Army knife? A survival business card. It's 11 functions rolled into one pocket-sized tool, including a sharp knife, a saw, a bottle opener, a can opener, too. It even has a wrench. It lays flat, fits right in your wallet. A survival multi-tool for your wallet, leather-like sheath included, designed to be practical and built to last. Yours free. That's right, free. Claim yours right now while supplies last at freesurvivaltool.com. Again, that's freesurvivaltool.com. Bills in front of Congress right now could take away your right to keep and bear arms. If Obama has his way, all guns will be either banned, restricted, or confiscated, possibly by executive order. The best way to keep your guns is to hide them. What Obama can't find, Obama can't take away. You can protect your guns from any threat. Download our special report, How to Hide Your Guns, at GoHideYourGuns.com. Learn how to hide your guns while keeping them readily available. Get the report now before they make us take it down. On the web at GoHideYourGuns.com.
Way up north, way up north, north to Alaska, go north, bless your song, north to Alaska.
Folks, I go covering news for years locally in Austin, would have families contact me, and I would go and see the CPS take their newborn baby for no reason and file it with the county clerk with different names and a 3-year-old filing. just so lazy, the social workers I saw, that they would I would go to court and there would be a different name on the paperwork. And, you know, they abused the three-year-old. And I'd be there in court, not allowed to talk. And people would be like, they'd have a public, you know, defender in the fake court. It's not even a real court, not a jury, family court. I actually saw this happen. I showed these documents on Access TV. This is like 16 years ago. And one of the cases, I'm having flashbacks to this because it was such a wake-up call. And they would go, because you abused the three-year-old, and it'd be someone else's name, we're taking this one. And they'd go, who is my first child? And they'd go, psychiatric evaluation, psychiatric evaluation. And I mean, it would just take their kid because it was blonde-haired, blue eyes. They could get top dollar. And I don't know about the L.A. system. I've read it's pretty darn bad as well. They're in Southern California. But they've had the doctors over CPS go public over the kids dying from the medications. And it is a holocaust, folks. And I know so much about it. It frustrates me because how do I explain it all to you if you haven't been a carpet cleaner for 3 months and seen it? If you have, and the creepiness of it. And then you don't want to attack all foster parents because a lot of them are good Christian people or, you know, liberals, you know, real liberals like Kevin Booth and Trey Booth, his wife, who I've known for many years, are really just big, you know, big sweetie pies who love to take care of injured animals and stuff. I'm always like, oh no, they found another hurt possum in the yard. Now they're nursing the possum back to life, you know. Come over there with possums and raccoons they're nursing back to life. So they wanted to help young people. And then they found out about this, and I want to commend you for your courage, Kevin. What's the next clip we're going to premiere here on air for folks?
Well, thanks. Well, we're going to circle back into about children and cancer here. But real quick, I just wanted to talk about that in 2003, the U.S. government actually obtained the patent for medical marijuana in the form of the Department of Health and Human Services patenting cannabinoids. And this is going to lead into a thing that there is a Canadian man named Rick Simpson that discovered a age-old version of cannabis oil that cured his own cancer. And after he cured his cancer and thousands of other people's cancer with this ancient cannabis oil, he had to flee Canada because they raided him. And now a lot of people are trying to work to get this into the modern-day pharmacopoeia. And this brings up the main character. The main character in American Drug War II is a little boy named Cashie Hyde. And in the movie, you know, I'm not going to give any spoiler alerts here on your show because I want people to go see the film on June 6th. But he basically was in a coma for 40 days with a peanut-sized brain tumor. The hospital staff told the parents, Mike Hyde and Callie Hyde, to make funeral arrangements. And Mike had been reading about this cannabis oil on the internet. And they snuck in, as his wife is actually a registered nurse, they snuck in some syringes of the cannabis oil into the emergency room in Salt Lake City and started injecting it into their dying son's feeding port, you know, just into his feeding port. And literally in a day, he pops out of the coma and he starts eating, and then the tumor shrinks. And that's kind of where our story starts.
And yeah, Tommy Chong says he drank the oil and it made his, and years later made his cancer go away.
Right, so this next little clip I want to show right now is kind of called
We're
going
to have to play in the next hour. We're going to have you on for 20 more minutes, and we're going to have our guest, Mr. Pinckney, in here, one of the founding Black Panther Party members, to get into the whole New World Order and everything else here today. But stay there, Kevin. We're going to get to these other four clips, exclusive premiere here of American Drug War II, picked up by what, Warner Brothers, right, Kevin?
Well, it's picked up by Gravitas. It's being helped promoted by Warner Brothers, and it's coming out on theatrical through a company called Tug.com that I want to tell everybody about.
Yeah, and we're going to tell folks coming up what cities it's going to be in so you can see it first. Very important film. It's really a CPS drugging the kid film. Very important.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, I'm Alex Jones. Myself, my family, the InfoWars.com team want to relay to you and your families that we are intensifying our efforts against the globalists on every front. InfoWars.com is leading the fight against the technocrats. But we can't do that without your help. By getting the films, bumper stickers, and t-shirts at InfoWars.com, you will wake up people in your area and support our operation as we move to the next level. We need your help to spread the word like never before. They wish to hide themselves during this tectonic battle between the forces of freedom and darkness. You are the response to the globalist technocrats and their program of global eugenics dehumanization and ultimate extermination. The war is here. It's an info war. The spirit of 1776 versus the mindset of 1984.